The following audio is from Redemption Church. More information about our church can be found at www.redemptionchurchlacombe.org.
Take your Bible and turn me to the book of Psalms, chapter 119, whether you have it in paper form or whether you have it on an electronic device. I invite you to turn there with me. As I mentioned, this is the week of prayer and the Word. Last week, we introduced this new year focusing upon the Word of God, and the second Sunday of the year, we always talk about the Word of God. We've known this about 10 years now to begin our year with two primary spiritual disciplines that are foundational and fundamental for us and our growth with the Lord. I would encourage you that once the sermon gets online for last week and talking about prayer, I just gave some principles of how to make your prayer life more effective as we looked at the Lord's Prayer from Matthew chapter 6. Today we're looking at Psalm 119 as it relates to the Word of God. It's hard not to talk about the Word of God from Psalm 119. That's all that it's about. Some 176 verses in this chapter, longest chapter in the book of the Bible, actually pretty close to the middle of the Bible, are these verses that the author wrote about all of what the Word does for us. Now, I am selecting some passages this morning. Simply, they are very selective to give you some benefits and blessings of being in God's Word. You may say, Pastor, I know that His Word is good. Well, I want to give them to you this morning in regards to what it is. You say, well, I know it's good. Well, my question is, how much are you being in the Word? So I just have a few questions for you this morning. I want you to raise your hand. I don't want you to say anything out loud. But how many of you have an actual plan by which you're reading the Word? Did you have one in 2016? Maybe you started at it and maybe about 2 weeks later didn't get very far. Got about 3 months into it and you're like, man, I've just blown it. I'll just wait to 2017. Some of us try to always start with great intentions, don't we? Our intentions oftentimes fall flat. And we say, I'm going to do this. I promise I'm going to do it. 2017 rolls around. We said, I promise I'm going to do it this year. I'm going to read through the Bible, for example, for in a year. Well, I encourage you this way. If you are reading the Bible, let me ask you this question. Why? Are you reading it because it's bringing life to you, because you're finding joy in it, you're growing your relationship with the Lord, or are you reading the Word out of obligation or out of guilt? I want to encourage you this morning that from the things that I share with you this morning will hopefully help you to see that reading the Word should never be out of guilt, never should be out of obligation. It's done because you are experiencing God as you are meeting with Him in a one-on-one basis. This Word is His Word. It is His way to speak to you. If you're saying, God doesn't speak to me, He already has. It's called His Word. You say, but I don't hear Him audibly. It's louder than an audible voice. It's on a written page. And the Bible says it's sharper than a two-edged sword. You said, I don't believe it. You get in it and you'll find out how sharp it is. And you'll find out how alive it is as well. And so I want to encourage you as we go through this, I want to give you just 8 blessings and benefits and choosing some passages of Scripture through Psalm 119 that we can look at this morning that will give us benefit and hopefully will encourage you and whet your appetite in regards to what the benefit of the Word is. Now, all these refer to people who know Christ, have a relationship with the Lord, who've been saved, and as you're in the Word, these things take place. If you're here this morning, you've yet to repent, yet to place faith in the Lord, I want you to hear what the Word can do for you once you've repented and once you believe in Him. And you say, well, Pastor, I've read the Word. I've met people, even as I encounter people and talk to people, and they'll say to me, oh, Pastor, I read the Bible once. I read it all the way through. I'm like, really? I want to read it all the way through several times. Because the Word is beneficial to us. It's not just simply something that's one time. For example, orange juice gives you what vitamin, church? So is one glass of orange juice all you need for the rest of your life? Case in point, done. We got it. So we know that we need the Word to be able to give us the benefits of what we need. So we're going to start in verse 1. And the first thing I want you to see is that when we are reading the Word, that we're in the Word, that we are blessed. Look at verse 1. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with their whole heart. So understand what the psalmist is saying here, the author is here, and says we are blessed when we are in the Word. Now understand that when you look in verse 1, he says the law of the Lord, these are words that he uses interchangeably. The law of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord, those are all ways that they talk about the Word of God. But he says, for those of you who are walking in the testimony, the law of the Lord, you are blessed. Now what does that mean? Blessed is more a state of being than it is an emotion. Happiness is an emotion. Sadness is an emotion. Blessed is a state of being where your mindset is completely consumed knowing that you are blessed. For example, I am blessed if I am in my relationship with God. I am blessed that I have peace in my mind, in my heart. I'm blessed because I'm filled with contentment. I'm blessed because I can approach God and not have shame. I'm blessed because I can be filled with joy. I can be blessed even if I'm in the hardest struggle of my life. I can still be blessed. Because if I'm walking the Word of God, I feel blessed. You say, I don't understand that. It's just a supernatural state of being that you can't explain, you can't understand, unless you have a relationship with God and you're walking with God. And you're just blessed. It's just that state of being. It's like the Word says, he whose mind is fixed on him is in a state of what? Peace. You know that you're just in a state of being that you are blessed. And if I'm walking with the Lord, then I'm going to be blessed. For example, if you are trying to be blessed in one area of your life and you're willfully sinning in another, how can God bless you? Can't. That's what he says. Look at the text again there in verse 1. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies. Now, that doesn't mean that any of us in this room are going to be perfectly blameless. Nobody in this room is perfectly blameless. But it does mean that you and I must be pursuing him. But if I'm seeking the blessing of God and I want to have that right relationship with him, even as a believer, and I have an area of my life over here that I'm sinning in or hiding it or harboring it, and I'm asking God to bless my life in general, God can't bless us. And you don't even have a blessed state of mind because you know this issue that's over here. It's like a pebble in your shoe when you're trying to walk. It is a stumbling block to you, and it's painful, and you're wanting God to take away the pain, but yet the stumbling block is still there. You've got to get rid of it. Because you know that that particular sin in your life or whatever it is that's holding you up, you've got to remove those things. You say, well, I thought God was going to do that. We also have some responsibility in our own walk with God as well. There's sin in our life. We've got to get rid of that. You've got to repent of those things and turn from those things in order for you to be able to be blessed. So it doesn't matter if it's large or if it is huge. It doesn't matter if you're dragging a log behind you or if you've got a pebble rock in your shoe. It's still keeping you from the blessings of God. And so if I'm in the Word of God, and I'm in the Word of God, it enables me to be able to experience those blessings because it's constantly reminding me of His holiness, my sinfulness, what I need to do, and it reminds me that I am walking in the Word. If I'm just a very personal testimony here from any of you, if you were to say, if you are walking in the Word of God, you know the difference when you're walking in the Word and when you're not walking in the Word. And you know the blessing that comes versus not the blessing that comes. When you're walking in self, when you're walking in flesh versus walking in the Spirit and walking in the Word. There's a drastic difference between the two. And you feel the blessing of God. You have that state of mind because when you're not walking with Him, your just daily living is one of misery. Because you're not walking in the blessings of the Lord. Just that same text that we read just a moment ago, just as far as our prayer life, telling us that if we seek Him with our whole heart, we will find Him. And so notice if it says there in verse 2, it says something very similarly. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with their what? Whole heart. So if I want the blessings of God, if you this morning, if there's one truth that you want to take from this whole sermon about the Word, I would encourage you with this very thing. If you want the blessing of God in 2017, pursue Him through His Word with your whole heart and blessings will come to you. Now, don't equate that I'm saying that perfect health and perfect riches and perfect everything is going to come your way. That is not what that means. The blessing of God is for His mindset, the Spirit of God, to fill you. Now listen, I'm going to tell you a false gospel that's being preached today. False gospel that's being preached today says God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Now you say, now, wait a minute, I thought that's what the Scripture says. That's Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, that was talking to the Israelites who were in bondage in Babylon. And God had a wonderful plan for them to get them out of bondage and get them back in their homeland. Sometimes the plan that's in front of us, it's actually a hard plan. Sometimes it's a difficult plan. Sometimes it's a hard road. And so when you're actually walking with the Lord and things are falling apart, it's not that you're sinful. It may be that you just have a very difficult road that you've got to walk down. So don't equate the fact that because you're on a difficult road that God isn't with you. So what I want you to understand, if you want the blessing of God while you walk the difficult roads, you got to be with Him in the Word and seeking Him. And the blessing that we're talking about will come to you. Second thing I want to give you this morning is that what's the benefit of being able to be in the Word of God is in verse 9 through verse 11. That is that you'll be protected from sin. All of us in this room, can I get a witness here? How many are tempted by sin? Tempted to sin. This past week, got quieter. The enemy's good at what he does. He's very good at his tactics. He's good at throwing out. I mean, whether it's in your home life, whether it's at work, or whether it's driving, you just get frustrated at people that surround you. The temptations are all around us. But here's the blessing of being in the Word. Look at verse 9 through verse 11. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. What's the word do for us? Helps us not to sin. You say, well, listen, here's why it helps you not to sin. The word here is not just ink on a page. The word is the living word. The Bible tells us in John 1, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. According to Ephesians, it tells us that the word is the sword of the spirit. So here's the thing. How does this apply practically? Let me give you just one example. Keep your finger here and go with me to Ephesians chapter 4, and I want to show you how the word can protect you from sin. Now, I read this statement years ago that says, sin will keep you from this book, or this book will keep you from sin. Think about that statement. Sin will keep you from this book, or this book will keep you from sin. Those of you who got that, understand that. And those of you who are in this book, understand that. And those of you who've been in sin, understand that. That should be everybody in the room. Ephesians chapter 4, let me just show you an example of this. So Ephesians chapter 4, before I read this, let me just kind of set the example. If you are a believer, you have asked Christ to save you, every person is given the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God. According to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, it says, you've heard the gospel, believed the gospel, and were sealed with the Holy Spirit. So you have God in you. So even if you did not read the word, if you sin or you're tempted to sin, you would have conviction by the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit's job, according to John chapter 16, is to bring glory to God. Sin doesn't bring glory to God. So if you're ever tempted to do sin, the Holy Spirit rises up in you and brings conviction. But if you are in the Word and you're memorizing the Word, which is the sword of the Spirit, then He gives more illumination to the reasons why there's conviction there in your life. You follow me? For example, let's imagine that you have had a disagreement or an argument with whether it's your spouse, with a fiancé, or a co-worker, or whatever it is. Let's say you've been convicted by that, and you know it's not right. You know that's not right. You know that's not right, right? I gotta back up and start all over again, man. Go to foundation. I'm like, am I speaking German or something this morning? So you know that even if you have not read some scripture, you know that if, say, for example, you got saved and you're having an argument, you know the conviction of the Spirit of God that you need to make things right. But if you have the Spirit of God in you and you are reading the Word, He can bring to mind to you scriptures to tell you how you need to live to protect you from further sin. So, for example, this is how it plays out. You've had an argument, say, for example, disagreement, whether it's at work or whatever it is, and you leave steaming, or whether you've had a disagreement with your spouse and you're going to bed, and you lay there at night, and then this is the tricks that Satan plays in your mind. Well, it was their fault anyway. See, I didn't have anything to do with it. I was just there, and it just happened to be got the raw end of the deal. That's the only way that's been played in my mind? That's the way it plays, right? But if you're with the Spirit of God and you're in the Word of God, this text I'm about to read to you will be what the Holy Spirit is screaming at you. Ephesians 4, 25, 26. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your what? anger. So if you're reading the word now, let's kind of multiply this. Let's say that now you're reading the word and you've had that disagreement and you're putting your head on your pillow and you're trying to justify it. The whole time the Holy Spirit's saying to you, the sun's going down. You need to deal with the anger in your heart. So what happens is, what we just read in Psalm 119, verse 11 says that the word is the way by which it keeps us from sinning, is because when the word is put into our lives in those situations, the Holy Spirit brings those truths to mind, and it comes in contradiction oftentimes to our rationalization and to our justification to our behavior. And the Spirit comes up and it says, no, this word says this. Your emotions say this, but your word says this. Listen, you cannot depend upon your emotions. Now, if your emotions are in line with the word, then it's fine. But if your emotions are contradictory to the word, you trust the word, not your emotions. Even this famous phrase you say, but it feels right. Wrong. Just because it feels right doesn't mean that it is right. So back to Psalm 119, so the second benefit of us of being in the Word is it tells us, it helps us not to sin. But I want you to see a key phrase in this passage of Scripture. Go back to verse 11, Psalm 119. I've stored up your Word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Stored it up. You know what that means? Scripture memory. Memorizing Scripture. It's one of the reasons why we memorize Scripture as a church. Our Scripture memory for this month is James 2. Verse 10, the reason why we do that is because when we're in the Word, sometimes you say, well, I just don't remember where it's at. You know, I don't remember the chapter and the verse. But it's okay. If you're getting the truth that's in you, then that truth is coming out of you. Then the Holy Spirit's able to bring that to your mind. So in that situation, you may say, oh, I don't remember where that's at, but I know what it says here, here, and here. So the Word, it helps us. It gives you guidance to know that we will not be able to sin. Now, that doesn't mean that you're not going to have sin in front of you. As long as you live in this life and as long as your heart is beating and blood's flowing through your veins and you've got oxygen coming in and out of your nose, you're going to have temptations to sin. How much more so should we be in the Word? Because you know that if you're walking with the Lord and you're doing things for the Lord, guess who Satan's going to come against? You. So we know that we're blessed if we're in the Word. We know that we're protected from sin. Third blessing that I want to give you the benefit is that we're equipped to share God with others. Look at me, if you would, to verse 79 now. Verse 79. Let those who fear you turn to me that they may know your testimonies. Now, let me make sure you understand something here. When he says those who fear you, he's not referring to those who are afraid of you, but those who have a relationship with you. What he's saying is this. Let those who fear you come to me that they may know your testimonies. Let me put that practically to you. How many of you who are in Christ have ever gone to someone who was more mature than you to seek out godly counsel and wisdom from the Word? Amen. Yeah, because what happens is when you're growing in Christ, you're like, man, I need to talk to somebody who knows the Word better than me, who can give me counsel and can give me guidance. So here's the thing. When we're growing in the Word of God, one of the benefits and the blessings is we get to pour out the truths that God has been teaching us into others who have yet to know those particular truths. So the blessing and the benefit of being in the Word is we get to be able to pass those testimonies on. I love the wording that they use there, that you may know your testimonies. What a great benefit to say to them, say, this is what God has done in His Word here. This is what He's doing in my life now. And this is how He can help you here in this particular way. Now, listen to me. I'm going to give you a warning here. If your only motive of reading the Word is so that people will come to you and pat you on the back, your motive is wrong. We are in the Word to know God. And the byproduct is when the Word is just being exuberated out of our lives and we are being godly in our relationships and the way that we interact and the way we handle difficulty, the way we handle affliction, you don't have to worry about people coming to you. They will come to you over time. But it's just the fact is that when we're blessed and we're benefited, because some of you, if you've ever had this question as a Christian, say, I just want to be a blessing to other people. The way you do that is you start investing in the Word. Let the Word get in you. Let the Word change you. Let the Word shape you. Let the Word grow you. And then God will put people in your path to help. Now, what's the beautiful picture about our church redemption, and love the name, because it lets us know that God redeems anything and anyone. Anything from our past, He can redeem. Now, here's a blessing. You look across this room, there are people who have checkered pasts and different things that they've done. But we're sitting here, those of you who have been saved by Christ, with forgiven checkered pasts. And if we sit here and we grow in the Word of God, then what's going to happen is there's going to be people who will come into your life who've had some of those same checkered pasts, and you'll be able to tell them what God has done through you and what He's done in you. I said this to some men yesterday at our men's prayer breakfast as we were sitting around just talking. He said this: God will not waste anything from your past if you let Him use it in the present. Because whatever has happened in the past, your past doesn't define you. God's grace is what defines us. His forgiveness is what makes us. And so if we're in the Word, you just say, God, I want you to take my life, and I want to be a blessing to whomever you put in my path. And so God, whether it's someone that I meet at a store, or if it's someone in my church, or if it's someone in my family, or if it's someone in my neighborhood, here's the thing. If the Word is in you, whatever goes in you eventually has to come out of you. I'll give you an illustration. Have you ever eaten so much garlic that everybody knows you've eaten garlic? We've got fingers being pointed in the building right now. What happens is you eat so much garlic that eventually the garlic has to do what? Come out. I'm not suggesting that you pack your body full of garlic before you come to church on Sunday morning, because we will all know and we will put you in the cry room. And you can cry about it, okay? Funny illustration, but the point being is that when we're putting the Word in us, the Word shapes us. And so in conversations, what happens is you're not just trying to be superficial and just super spiritual, but it's just who you are. And it just comes out. You're talking about this truth and what that person can do when you're giving advice. It's just something that naturally comes forth from us. So if you want to be a person that God can use to be able to give counsel and guidance and truth to other people, it can't happen overnight. It's something that you just pursue the Lord because you want God. And a blessing of that is that God can use us to bless other people. Listen, the only place that we get truth is from the Word. But hear me, coming to redemption is not the only place where people have to come to find truth. You scatter with truth. And as you live as truth tellers, people that come in contact with you are coming in contact with people who are having the Word in their life. So number one, we're blessed. Number two, we're protected from sin. Number three, that we are equipped to share. The fourth thing I want you to see is if we are in the Word, we are given hope in the midst of affliction. Let me show you. Look at verse 92 and verse 93. If your law, again, this is the way by which he's using the Word. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. Hear what he's saying. If I didn't know the truth of God's Word, if I didn't have some truth to lean on in the midst of my affliction, I would have perished. What he's saying is when I go through difficulty, it's God's truths that give me hope. So when you're going through hardship or whatever that may be, the truth of his Word is what enables us to have hope to make it through those things. Because what you're leaning on, church, is the character and the promises of God. You're holding to those when things fall apart. You're holding to those when you've lost your job and you're down to your last 50 bucks in your checking account. You're holding to hope when it seems like your relationship is on the rocks. You're holding to hope that God is still in control. When it seems like your children are rebellious, you're holding to hope that you're doing what's right and you're trusting that God's in control. You're holding to hope when it seems like at workplace no one's being respectful. It seems like everybody's coming against you. You're holding to hope that God is going to sustain you through those things. It's the hope of His Word that you cling to those things. But I want to tell you this. Sometimes God allows us to go through affliction so we will learn where those hopes need to be placed. Let me show you that. Look back with me, if you would, to verse 72 or 71. It is good for me, the text says, that I was afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. How many of you can say that? God, thank you for that affliction that I went through. Now, none of us like to sign up for it. None of us like to say, God, just afflict my life like Job was. No one wants that. But there is benefit, though, that he's saying that when we're going through affliction, because what happens is when you have fallen flat of everything else and you are desperate for hope, what you do is in those afflictions, man, you're turning to God's Word and you're saying, God, show me something to get me through this. And what happens is through that affliction, then you get an anchor in your life. You get a nugget of truth in your life that you're able to hold on to. And the reason how that comes is because you've been in His Word. And if you're in His Word continually, what happens is when you get in that affliction, guess what's already in your mind? A truth that you've been clinging to, that God has revealed to you, that helps you know that He's going to be you, with you. So understanding that if we're in the Word, that we know that He's going to benefit us and He's going to help us. See, the hope is this. If I'm going through difficulty, whatever it may be, affliction, whether it's sickness or whether it's family, and I'm being feel like I'm just going through the ringer, my hope will be James chapter 2, or James 1, excuse me. Count it all joy when you go through various trials, that you know through these trials, He is producing steadfastness. And steadfastness produces hope. You see, it's in the hope of those things that I'm holding to. The end of that verse says that as I go through those things, that He's going to make me perfect, lacking nothing. Some of you probably look back in 2016, some of the things that you went through, some afflictions, and you didn't think in the midst of that you were going to make it through, but now you look back and now you've got some nuggets of truths that you're holding to and you're saying, God, thank You that You helped me get through that. And here's the benefit. Again, remember what we talked about right before this? Is that when you learn the truths, God's going to allow you to use it to other people. Sometimes we go through afflictions so that God can use us to help others who are going to go through that affliction. Being in that Word helps us. Let me show you number 5. Number 5, the benefit and blessing of being in the Word is that we are made wise. Look at verse 97 and verse 99. Oh, how I love Your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandments make me wise, wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for Your testimonies are my meditation. Wisdom from God to be able to grow in that. How many of us sometimes have relied upon what we thought was right and relied upon our intuition and got it falling flat on our faces? He's saying to us, as if we're in the Word, then the wisdom, the supernatural wisdom that comes to us from His truths. I'll give an example, one that often gets quoted, just to give you an illustration of how this works. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, that people quote. Can we know it? All things work together for the good for those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. So the wisdom is learning God's ways, learning that He's doing all those things. But do you know verse 29? Obviously we don't. Let's turn there. Go to Romans 8, verse 28 and verse 29. We love verse 28, but we often forget about verse 29. We'll read them together so you get the context of what's being said here. And again, what we're talking about is the wisdom that we get from God. And the wisdom is understanding what He's doing, oftentimes when we don't necessarily understand what's going on in our own life. Verse 28, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. So the benefit we say is that, okay, I don't understand all this, but I know it's going to be for His good and for His glory. But verse 29, for those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. You say, what's important about that? It's important to understand the wisdom of God. That sometimes when we go through things, we don't understand it. I know it's for His good and for His glory, but what He's also doing as I go through that difficulty, He is conforming me into the image of His Son. So the Word makes us wise, because sometimes we can't understand it from what we're going through from a human understanding and mindset. But if I can learn the wisdom of God to know that He's in control and what He's doing is going to be about making me much like Jesus, then I'll say, okay, Lord, whatever it is You need to do, shape me to be like Your Son. So the Word makes us wise to understand, even though we may not understand the minute details, we can at least understand the big picture that He's in control of those things. How does the Word make us wise about life? Let me give you an example of this. Turn me to Proverbs chapter 15. I'm just giving you a couple examples so you can see how the Word makes us wise. Proverbs chapter 15, I'll give you verse 16 and verse 17. This is wisdom about money. Wisdom about money. We all have to have it to live, to work, to eat, to pay bills. But how much our world glamorizes money, right? The more you have, the better off you are, supposedly, in our society, correct? Better things you drive, whatever it may be. But notice what it says here in Proverbs 15, verse 16 and 17. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble with it. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fattened ox and hatred with it. That's some great wisdom right there. Not saying that you have to have everything to have life. It's actually, and again, this doesn't mean that a person who's wealthy is someone who doesn't know the Lord or someone whose life has fallen apart. But what the wisdom is this. Be content in what you have and trust that your relationship with God is far more valuable and important than you having tons of riches and having meat on the table and yet they're having chaos in the home. The wisdom as we grow in the Word of God. So what that does, it puts everything in perspective in our materialistic society because we get sucked into that materialistic society at times. And it challenges us to realize what I have is provided by the Lord and I'll be content as long as the Lord is with us. If He chooses to bless us with more, then so be it. But right now, we're going to be content with herbs. I remember my parents telling me stories growing up about when my mom and my dad were in the military, my dad served in the Air Force, and them telling stories at times where oftentimes all they had was crackers and ketchup to be able to eat. But growing up, I saw contentment and joy and happiness and parents who loved the Lord. And we sat at the table, they took care of us. But it was never a comparison when I sat down to think, man, where's my T-bone steak tonight, Mom and Dad? Wisdom from the Word teaches us that when you have Christ, again, it goes back to the first thing. What's the first thing we have, church? Blessed. We're blessed. Because living in the Word, obeying the Word, we're blessed. And then we get wisdom as we're in the Word and realizing how it governs our life. Listen, this book is so filled with wisdom for life and for godliness. And we understand that we turn to those things. Certainly not every aspect of relationship is, and situation is going to be in there. How many of you would love, parents, that you would have chapter 2, when children do this, do this? Word. You'd love to have those pages, and if they act like this, then do this. And here's the perfect solution. A, B, C. Doesn't work that way, though, does it? But there's wisdom in the Word and how we are to love our children, to be patient with our children, so that wisdom is, gives us the big principles how we are to live in life. Let me give you, move on. Number 6. The 6th benefit and blessing of being in the Word is it gives us direction. Look at Psalm 119, verse 105. This is a text that probably many of you have memorized before. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I want to tell you a little bit about the history of this lamp that is referred to here. I've shared this with a few of you. The historical lamp that is used here is not like what you and I have, these LED flashlights that give a beacon of light for huge amounts of feet of direction. The lamp that is used here in Psalm 119, verse 105, is a lamp that was used and when it was trimmed and burning, only gave enough light for 18 inches to walk in. Think about that. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know what that means? It means that God's word may not always give us the direction and instruction for what's going to happen 1 month from now, 1 week from now, 2 years from now, but it gives us the direction what we're supposed to walk in right now. So His Word, if you're in a situation and you're fretting over the future, you're fretting over difficulties, and you're fretting over what in the world you're supposed to do, look at His Word and say, God, what do I need to do right now? And act in those things. Doesn't mean you don't need to plan. Doesn't mean that you don't need to pray. Doesn't mean you don't need to have strategy for your life and strategy for your family. But what it does mean is if you're worrying about the future and you're not looking at the instructions He's given you right now, then you're ignoring what He's going to do. Why in the world would God give you future plans if you don't do the way He told you in the present? Got it? We said, God, I want you to show me this. Well, sometimes He's just telling you right now what you're supposed to do. give you an example. Back in 2001, Liz and I were working down in Grand Isle as the youth, children, and music pastor there. And we were praying about where God wanted us to be for seminary. I've traveled across the country, gone to different schools, and had done some interviewing and looking where God wanted us to be. I narrowed it down to New Orleans, narrowed it down to Southern, and man, just was completely, Southern is up in Louisville, Kentucky, New Orleans Seminary, obviously, in New Orleans, and just completely at a loss of what God wanted us to do. Spent time praying, spent time fasting, and saying, God, what is it you want us to do? Narrowing those down, just seeking His face and seeking His will and looking at His word of what He wants us to do. It wasn't like that we saw this writing on the wall that God said, go here or go there. But I knew God had called me to go get trained for pastor. So I'm putting these things before us. And so we're saying, okay, God, we feel that we believe that you have led us. I met a professor at the seminary in New Orleans, Dr. Jim Shaddix. And I thought, man, I want to be trained under this guy to learn. So we felt that was the first step. Okay, God, you've shown us who that could be mentored. I'm going to take that first step. But you know what? There was a lot of things that we had no clue about. Having to leave behind a job. Where were we going to work at? Oh, no. Where were we going to live? We got to talk to school and get that worked out. But we had to take a step, trust that God was leading us there, move there, and then we're praying, okay, we're here now, God. Now, what's the next step you want us to do? Well, we got to find employment. So I'll tell you how God worked that out. We're praying for God to give it. We knew the first step was us to get to school, right? You with me on the story? So next thing is that we're there and we're praying about employment. See a posting within the office that in one of the employment offices there at the seminary for a school that needed a teacher. Well, we went. It was the first time that we're in the city. I wasn't going to let Liz drive across the city to a place that we've never been, not knowing anything about the city. And so I just tag along. I need a job too, right? Yes. Okay. I'm not going to make her do all the work, and I'm just going to sit back and mooch off of it, right? And just so I'm thinking, okay, I got to have something that's going to work with my schooling and being able to do this. And so she takes that step. We go over there, and so we meet the principal, and I'm just sitting over in a room just waiting on the interview. So he gets done. He comes in. He says, you need a job? I said, yes. He said, well, how about you be my PE teacher? I'm like, I don't have a teaching degree. He said, it's okay. I've done it before. I just need someone to work part-time. And I said, I need to check my schedule. He said, well, I'll pay you $12 an hour. I was like, okay, that's pretty good. Compared to other seminary jobs was making $6 or $7 an hour, I was just saying, that'll work. So we took a step to get to the city. We're trusting God's direction that He's called us to do this and that we're there and He provides a job for us. What I'm saying is this. God's word directed us that what was He directing us? To trust in Him. And take the first step, and then God helped us with the next step. What I'm saying this, church, this is not just words on a page. I'm just coming up with something creative here. I want you to see how these truths have played out in my own life. And that was back in 2001, but that's happened multiple times for me in my own life and for our church as well, trusting what God's will is right in front of us to do right now. So if you're at a loss of what you need to do, the first thing you need to do is get in the Word and let the Word direct you to the step you need to take right now. Let me show you another thing, the benefit of being in the Word is this. It grows our love for God. Look at me, if you would, at 129, verse 129. Your testimonies are wonderful, he says. Therefore, my soul keeps them. The unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. You say, how does this work? He says right here, he says, your testimonies are wonderful. Again, if I am in the Word, I am growing in my understanding of who God is. And what happens is my affections and my joy and my love for God increases. So when I'm in the Word, I'm not just checking off the box on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I've checked off a box. I read my Bible today. No, my mentality and what your mentality needs to be is that when you're in the Word, what you're doing is you're getting to meet with God Almighty, church. You're getting to meet with the God of the universe who chose to write His words down for us to be able to know Him. And so He speaks truth to us. So how do I get to know Him? Let me tell you why. When I'm in His Word, what He shows me is this. He shows me that His grace is greater than my sin. And so it draws my affections to the God of much grace because I sin much. I'm thankful for His grace as much. When I'm in His Word, I've learned that He chooses to use me in spite of myself. So what does that do? It makes me grow to be thankful for the God who's chosen to use me. As I'm in His Word, I learn that He gives me forgiveness over my faults. Even if I failed Him yesterday, I cry out to Him in 1 John 1. It says, if I confess my sins, He's faithful and just to cleanse me from my sins and to make sure that I'm used for Him. So I give much praise to Him. I learn that, and through His Word, that He's given me the Holy Spirit. And so I'm thankful and I give much praise to the God who's in me. I grow to understanding that the Holy Spirit is very much God who's in me. So I give Him thanks and my love for Him. I learned how He was compassionate to people who wronged Him. And so it makes me love Him because I want to be more like Him. I learned that when I obey His truths, I'm better off. I learned that when I obey His truths, I'm changed inwardly. And it caused me to grow to love Him because I know He's doing something in me. I learned that when I obey His truths, I'm filled with joy and not pessimism. I learned when I read and obey His truths, my faith is supernaturally increased. When I read His Word, I am growing to see that He is a God of might who overcomes enemies, who overcomes difficulties. And so my affections for Him grow to say, I'm serving a God that is not a wimpy God. I'm serving a God who's a mighty God. And so my affections grow to the One who is mighty, the One who saved me, the One who is grace, the One who is forgiving. And so when I'm in the Word, He's coming alive to me. I tell you, if you're not in it, you're missing it. For you see, if you were in it, what happens on Sunday mornings is going to change for you. I promise you. You get in the Word and you read the Word. You get here on Sunday mornings, rather than getting filled up, you just want to explode. You want to worship Him because your heart's been filled with joy. You want to sing to Him. You want to pray to Him. You want to give thanks to Him. For you see, when we come together, it's an opportunity for us to praise His name together. That doesn't mean that at times you can be in your Word diligently. Now, don't get me wrong. You can be in the Word diligently every day and sometimes have a hard week. And you need to get to church because you just need to be loved on and filled up by God. But I'm telling you, if you're going to be in the Word, what's going to happen is you're going to be like the psalmist says in verse 129. You're going to have a testimony that says, Lord, Your Word is wonderful. You know where those testimonies come from? Some of those same things that we've just learned. When you're needing wisdom to know how to act, when you need hope in the midst of affliction, and you find those nuggets of truth, then you'll say what He says in verse 129. You'll say, God, that truth is amazing. Have you found those nuggets before? And you cling to those, and it all works together. But as you're in the Word, it gives you passion and growth and love for our mighty God. I want to tell you one last one that happens. If you're in the Word, your burden for the lost grows. Look at verse 136. My eyes shed streams of tears because people do not keep Your law. As I'm reading through Psalm 119 multiple times this week, that verse jumped out at me. Probably greater than any other ones. Because as I read that and I meditated on that passage of Scripture, I'm like, here's a guy who has taken 176 verses praising God for His great truths and how God is mighty. And right here, towards the end of the psalm, he says, God, I am shedding tears because the lost don't know You. Hear this. All these things that we talked about, if you are in the Word, you're going to be blessed. You're in the Word, you're protected from sin. You're in the Word, you're given hope through midst of affliction. You're in the Word, and you're made wise. You're in the Word, you're given direction. You're in the Word, and your love for God grows. And then you begin to realize that the lost don't have any of those things. Amen. And then you begin to realize that people who are walking outside of Christ are not having the wisdom of God. Those who don't know God try to fill their lives with earthly blessings, but they don't have true blessing. What I'm saying is this. If you want yourself to have more burden, more passion for the lost, then what will happen is you get into the Word of God and you're growing in your walk with God, and then you begin to have the heart of God for them as well, and you begin to realize they're not just broken because they're not obeying rules. You're broken because you realize that they're missing the God of the Word. Yeah. So for you, this year, what do you want to do different? We can sit here and we can talk about the benefits and the blessings, and I could share with you personal testimonies from my own journal, things that I've written down where God has brought insight to me. There's times that I'm reading the Word, and sometimes after a day of reading, I'll say, now what did that mean? Anybody had that time before? You know, such and such begot this person begot that person, this person begot that person, and begat, right? Now you know you're skipping the begats, don't you? Guilty, I heard someone's guilty. But you know, sometimes I've been reading those. I'm like, okay, this person begot that one, this person begot that. And I'm like, Lord, what do you want me to see in the begats? And then sometimes there's these phrases in the midst of the begats that just like jump off the page. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not. It's in the midst of the begats. If you just skip the begats, you're like, whoa, he walked, he was not. That means he supernaturally just disappeared. And the next day he's like, hey, anybody seen Enoch? I went and knocked on his door. He's not there. He walked with God. He was not. What I'm saying is that we're in the Word, and I want to challenge you. Is that what do you want to do different this year? Do you want to set that in 2017 and have done the exact same thing as you did in 2016? Or you want to do something different? You see, I can share with you the blessings of God, and I myself have to be disciplined to be in the Word. Oh yeah, I'm a pastor, and so I could be here and study. Before you think that all I get to do is study all day long, just come and sit with me for a couple of days, and I'll tell you what else I have to do. But in addition to preparing for sermons, listen, that's sermon preparation, and I enjoy every bit of that, but I'm spending time with God alone from sermon preparation because I just want to know God. I'm not just putting a sermon together, I want to know God. I want to be with Him so that when I come into sermon preparation, I'm carrying over my relationship with Him. So when I'm looking in the text for sermon preparation, I have been with Him. I am walking with Him. And the things that He's teaching me come to life in the Word. So let me give you an illustration. If you know all the blessings and the benefits, it doesn't come to life to you until you do it. For example, you have a favorite dessert you like? Only a couple people have nodded their head yes. I guess there's just a few people. And if you have this great dessert that you love and like, you can tell someone else about it. Like, for example, a triple layered mousse with chocolate chips, and Cool Whip in that sucker. It's got Hershey's, Reese Pieces things in there, Heath Bar. Man, it's good. It's got smoothness, but it's got crunch. And then every time we go home, my mom always makes this thing called turtle cake. Now, it's not made with turtles, okay? It's not like a Cajun thing, throwing turtle in there. It's this chocolate cake that's got caramel that's melted in there. And chocolate chips, and man, a dollop of ice cream on that thing. Woo! It's awesome. Now, if it's been setting out for a day, you got to nuke it for about 8 to 10 seconds so the caramel starts to run, and then just runs over the ice cream. Man, it's good. Anybody want some? Hush, pastor, so we can go eat. Now, I can talk to you about it. And I can say it's awesome because I've eaten a lot of it before. But until you try it, you don't know it. So the same thing as I say to you about the Word. Unless you get in it, you don't know it. If we want the benefits and the blessings of the Word, it's time to consume it so the blessings and the benefits can come to you. So believer, I challenge you this year. Think practically. What can you do different to spend time in the Word? Maybe some of you have a great plan. And if that's the case, then I just want to fan the flame of encouragement for you. Stay in the Word. Do it. We have smartphone and electronic technology unlike we've ever had before. There are Bible apps that are on the phones today that will give you a Bible reading plan that will remind you every day what you need to do, that you can read through the Bible in a year. Whether you want to do it chronologically, or whether you want to do some Old Testament, New Testament, or whether you want to do certain series, or whether you want a character study, there's multiple ways. But I just encourage you, don't talk about it.
Do it.
Do it. James says, not to be hearers of the word only, but to be doers of the word. I challenge you this year as well. If you're not plugged into a small group, get plugged into a small group. The reason why is because we're studying the word together. Where illumination comes from a text, because sometimes you can come to the text of a tape, come to the small group, and you think you have insight, and someone who studied text brings illumination, and then you're like, oh, that's what that means. We're delighting in God, we're declaring Jesus, and we're discipling all people, both individually and together. My challenge to you is be in the Word. Maybe today you just need to write down a strategy of what you need to do. Not just hear it and say, yeah, that was good. Maybe today when you get home, you need to think, this is what I need to do. This is what I'm going to change. Whether it's getting up a little earlier to read the Word, or whether you do it at lunch break, or whether you do it at nighttime before you go in the bed, I challenge you to do it, because here's what's going to happen. The more that you're in the Word, your prayer life that we talked about last week is going to increase as well. Because the things that you pray about are the things that you're learning in the Word. So when you're praying for people, you're praying for affliction, you're praying for difficulties, those things that God has brought to your mind of the Word, you're praying for those things, and you're holding to the God of the Bible in those things. So church, I believe God can make us a better people of the Word in 2017. If we're better individually, we're better together. And if you're here this morning and you've not repented and placed faith in Christ, I want to tell you that being in the Word is not about being do's and don'ts. It's not about do this and don't do this. No, being in the Word, once you come to know Christ, is that you have a God who's spoken to us, who's revealed Himself to us, and you get to know Him in a personal, intimate way. And if you have yet to do that, I invite you today, repent and place faith in the God who is almighty and who's given us His Word. Let's pray together. I'm going to ask you just to take a moment. With every head's bowed and every eye closed before I pray, I want you to think about your own discipline of reading the Word. Think about what God has convicted in your own heart this morning. Maybe He's encouraged you of what you're doing. Or maybe He's convicted you of what you're not doing and what you need to do. Whatever it is that God is challenging you to do this year, then ask for His grace to do so. You'll fulfill what He's directing you to do. Maybe it's individually that He's challenging you to be in the Word. Maybe it's a challenge that you do things together as a family better, or as a couple. To study the Word, maybe do devotions at nighttime. Maybe to pray together the Word more. Whatever it is that He's placed upon your heart to do. Say, God, I need help to do this. If you're seeing that same Psalm 119, verse 5, the psalmist says, oh God, help me to do Your Word. So the same one who prays God for His Word is the same one who's asking God for help. So all of us in this room need God's help to do the very things we've talked about. Well, you can purpose your heart and say, I'm going to do it every day. But in the flesh, we'll struggle. So we need the supernatural help of God. So God, we come to You this morning with thanks that Your Word is alive. That Your Word does give life. Thank You that Your Word is good to us. That it gives, shows us that we can be blessed when we're in Your Word. Thank You, Lord, that when we're in Your Word, that we can be protected from sin. We can be encouraged and empowered to speak to others. Thank You, Lord, that it makes us wise to be able to pour out truths and be able to have direction for our lives. Thank you, God, that it causes our affections to grow for you because we're seeing you in the pages of history and what you're doing and truths about us and our relationship with you. And God, thank you that your word gives us brokenness for lost people. God, I ask for myself and I ask for every person who's in this room who's a believer and every person who's listening by streaming this morning. We want your help to be in your word more, not simply out of obligation, but we want your help to help us crucify our flesh so we can meet with you and so you can show us yourself so we can be changed by you. God, make us the people that you want us to be. Oh, as the psalmist said, open up your word that I may see wonderful things. God, I pray that for us. I pray for dads in this room. I pray for fathers in this room and grandfathers. You'd help us to lead our families better in the Word. I pray for moms and grandmoms who are pouring instruction into children, that you would give them wisdom and give them time in the Word in their busy schedules. God, I pray for anyone in this room who has yet to meet you, the God of the universe, the God of forgiveness, the God of grace, the God of life, that today, God, you would open up their eyes, help them to see their lostness and their need for repentance, and may they see your goodness today, and may they come to you and call out to you for salvation. Now, God, I pray that whatever commitments people are making this morning, give grace to do those things. Thank you, God. Thank you for being with us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we stand, we'll have an opportunity to sing and praise His name through song. Maybe if you need to respond, Jared and myself will be here to receive you for prayer. But let this song be a prayer of yours. Respond as God has spoken to your heart this morning.